The Frames Per Second Podcast.
This story is about my father and the secret birthright that's been kept from us.
You're going after it.
We're gonna need a car.
He's gonna stand there, Tay.
This is family business. And family stay together.
Dad for my help, scared for myself.
What's going on? It's your boy Nikki Duce, aka Mr. No Disrespect, and you're now tuning in to the Frames Per Second Podcast. In this episode, we will be starting our review of Lovecraft Country, the new HBO series starring Journey Smollett and Jonathan Majors. This will be on our list as far as like every 2 weeks, we will record we'll record a review covering two episodes, like I mentioned on Twitter. So yeah, let's just jump into it. This is a new HBO series. HBO's been on a roll for the last couple years, so this is just another hit to their list because it got a lot of views on the first premiere episode.
Especially with black art, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of black eyes.
They've been on it with black art. As far as, you know, you got this show, I May Destroy You,
and Watchmen.
Watchmen, yeah. It's like, yeah. As far as black art, man,
Someone made that point. Now they doing more black art stuff than BET.
Well, remember that Confederate stuff that they were going to do?
Oh, yeah, but that got shut down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, we can celebrate it, but they were.
The Peacock kind of is, that network streaming service, they're doing a show that's kind of like that.
Oh, the one with the black people are in power.
Yeah.
And they're oppressing the white people.
Yeah. This is the wrong time for that show.
But you know what? I refrained from commenting because I was like, I probably don't know the details. And the details are apparently they were based on a book written by a black person.
Mm.
And the ideas are not what's being presented in that trailer. So that's why I left it alone.
Okay.
But no, I'm with you. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, if y'all don't get this bullshit the fuck out of here right now. But
you're growing, Mike. You're learning how to just sit back and be patient, wait till all the information come out.
I'm putting my woosaw on these days, bro. I'm like, let me not say nothing yet.
But yeah, back to Lovecraft. The first premiere episode, well, the series is developed by Misha Green. She was behind The Underground that was on WGN.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why I got canceled, but yeah.
I didn't know she was behind it. I didn't watch the show, but I just saw the trailer and I was like, I'm not watching this.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it either.
She's the one who's like she's the showrunner.
Interesting. Okay.
But Lovecraft Country is based off a novel of the same name by Matt Ruff. And it kind of just, it's a series about a young black man who travels across the segregated 1950s in the United States, in search for his missing father. And he learns dark secrets are plaguing a town, which is famous, you know, the famous horror writer H.P. Lovecraft supposedly based the location of his many fictional works. So that's kind of like what sets us up to come in the series. But that premiere episode, man, it was called Sundown.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what did y'all think about it? First reactions.
Yeah, I was sold. Like the first episode, I was just like, holy shit. Like, because in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, so is this going to be like segregated and like the creatures are killing the white people or some shit like that? Like, I didn't know what to expect going into this. I sound like FIFA and shit. I didn't know what to expect going into this shit, man. Like, I didn't know, like, really what was the plot of this whole series. I just know Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams is like doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, okay, I'm watching it just off the strength of those names. Let me check this out. But yeah, the first episode, I was like, okay, this shit cool. That Sundown Town, that shit I'm pretty sure that's some real shit, Ken. Like,
it is, you know, some real shit.
Yep. Yeah.
In Georgia.
Yeah.
Actually.
Right. I mean,
Memorial Drive.
And there's some in Northern States too. Wow. Yeah.
Well, they don't exist anymore.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I live close to
Memorial Drive.
Yeah.
Memorial Drive is the dividing line. That jail that they have on Memorial Drive
was built
by 285
to put black people in jail for when they crossed over.
I live like right by that.
Figures.
It's crazy.
Get your ass home before it's too late, boy.
we got about 2 minutes of this.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that, especially, I'm pretty sure back in the 30s, 40s, whatever, like Sundown Towns was a real damn thing.
Back when Kim was a kid.
I was waiting for him to say that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a real thing. So, like, the way they made it, like, a horror aspect of it was pretty cool. Cause, I mean, I'm pretty sure that shit was some scary shit back then, too. Like, to be like, let me make sure I get my ass home and get away from this town before the damn sun goes down. So I thought that concept was pretty cool. And like how they played that into like a real life situation. But yeah, that first episode, I was like, yeah, I was sold. I didn't know what the fuck was really going on, but I was sold. I was like, bet, I'm here.
I like halfway through it, just the little gems that they were dropping with, just mentioning certain authors and shit like that. I can get a little nerdy when it comes to shit like that. So I was like, oh, I wonder who's this and that stuff. So I was liking that. But they got me when they had that motherfucking slow ass car chase. And I've never seen shit like that before in my goddamn life.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I was
that
like,
was a slow ass car chase.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't think about it.
Think about that shit, bro.
They're like, probably going like 40 miles tops.
Cause that's what he was doing. She 25. Was like, push that motherfucker. He was like, I can't.
Yeah.
25. Yeah. They couldn't break the law. And the, so yeah, so at that point they got me. And even towards the end, like I was sold at that point. I was like, oh yeah, I'm in for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we could probably get into other parts of it. So I'll just stop there.
I wasn't sold to the end and it has nothing to do with the show. Yeah. I'll be full disclosure. I did not know that it was going to be this type of thing. I didn't know it was going to be a whole bunch of racism. So I was pissed. I was
really,
I was not in the fucking mood, man. I really wasn't. It was just so much shit was already happening. I was already reading all these articles and think pieces about the stuff that's happening. And I was like, oh, Lovecraft Country. Cool. I'm a zone out.
Escapism.
On some black people in horror. This is going to be great. And it starts off and the majority of the episode is them trying to get through this town or whatever. And then I'm like, oh God, they go to the diner and then. There's this nigger shit and the cop. And I was like, man, this is good, but I'm not in the fucking mood for this. So I was actually legit pissed. Not at the show, but more so at just the circumstances.
Yeah.
I did not know that that's what I was signing up for. But I was like, let me just get through it. You know, this Jussie's fine ass sister, I can just look at her talk all day. And then I really like the main guy and I like the uncle. I was like, I like all three of these people. So if they die, I feel like already I'm going to be invested.
Because all of them are great actors.
Because all of them are great actors and the characters are good. So I was like, all right, whatever. But then when they get to the woods and the weird vampire monster show up, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's see some blood.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, when the episode ended, I was like, oh, I need episode two.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've become acclimated to that's what this show is, and when I rewatched the first episode, I was fine with it.
I was going to ask, how many times did y'all rewatch the first episode?
Only once. I wanted to watch it again, but I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, I rewatched episode two a lot.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I rewatched the first one twice because like you said, Ken, the first time I watched something, I usually just try to get like the summation of it, like what's the general idea of it. And then the second time, I'm looking for the details. Like, how much black history they dropped in that first episode was ridiculous. And then on top of that, some of the scenes, like, were kind of dark. So you want to see, like, what these monsters actually kind of look like and whatnot. Or, you know, so it's just more about detail.
I was going to say, you got a cheap TV like me.
I got a Roku TV.
Yeah, so I'm not even clowning. Like, I had to close all of the blinds and turn all of the lights off in order for me to see anything in that.
I usually have to turn off, like, my lights. The bright lights and just have those little lamps that so they could just light up a little bit.
Turn them shits off too, and I'm telling you, it'll be a lot better. If your TV's anything like mine, there has to be black in that motherfucker to see shit.
But yeah, I liked the first episode a lot. I thought it was dope. It was a great series premiere. But what did y'all think about Atticus and like his introduction to the show? Because I think we see him coming from Florida to Chicago because he got that letter from his dad, you know, and his dad's been missing for a couple weeks. But I like that conversation he had with that black woman on the bus, because obviously they're coming from a segregated South, so it's a black and white section.
Oh yeah, and they had to walk and all
that. They had to walk because the bus broke down and there was a guy to help the bus, you know, the people who were on the bus to get to their little destination, but he was a white guy. And so they already knew. They didn't have to say nothing in that scene. Yeah. They just looked at each other and like, I got it. And he wanted to help her out anyway because she had a bunch of bags and he didn't.
See, I was getting pissed. I was like, I'm not in the fucking mood for this.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I love the conversation they had about stories, though. Because I think he remembers, she was asking him what he was reading. His favorite book right now was A Princess from Mars. And she was like, wasn't the main protagonist like an ex, he fought for the Confederate side? And he was like, yeah, but it was, you know, it was a little bit more gray and complicated than that. She was like, ain't nothing more complicated than you fighting for, against us. Like, mm-hmm. I like that dynamic, how they looked at stories. Mm-hmm. Like, he saw a lot of gray in stories, like how the human side.
Yep.
She was like, I'm looking at the facts. Yep. Cause like, when it comes to being black in America, we only get hit with the facts, not the gray area.
It was a whole idea of intent versus like consequence. And I did like that scene a lot too, where they were having this, like, he looks at things more idealized, like, you know, a good can come from this regardless of how it started. And she's just like, no, it's black and white. Mm-hmm. This person did this, so therefore I don't give a fuck how this ended. Exactly. I don't want to hear it. But that's a mentality that we still have today, like that people struggle back and forth with. So I did think that scene was actually really
and good. It came mm-hmm. about because he was talking about how he fought for the war and mm-hmm. how his dad hated that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said because he didn't want, there was like later on in the episode, we'll get to it, but he was talking to his uncle about like how his dad was so against it. Like he didn't want him to even do this interview to talk about his experience as a black soldier because yeah. he didn't want other people to be, other kids to be influenced by their black kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was just his, I loved how they introduced that.
Yeah, it was perspectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the older crowd generation, the old lady, and obviously his dad, perspective on things were different, and being young, you know, he was, like Mike said, more ideal. And I even think about that, like Mike said again today,
mm-hmm.
you know, like there were a lot of the younger generation up until Trayvon were very idealistic about what the world was. And then my perspective was like, nah, fuck that. It's some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And then their world got flipped upside down, you know? So I thought that was dope. I think, while I like the racist shit, cause I kind of get caught up in the history of certain things and, mm-hmm. you know, how things get revealed, using this form of storytelling that people often don't know about. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't know about Sundown counties, right?
Mm-hmm.
That opening scene, I did not like because my mind just went there. I liked the dialogue, but I couldn't get over the fact that these motherfuckers had to walk
mm-hmm.
and carry those bags. Mm-hmm. And all I kept thinking about was their damn feet.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been hot.
Could have been flat footed.
It's very, very much so real mm-hmm, fucking life mm-hmm, for yeah. a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that put me in a place that I didn't want to be in. It was very early on, so I came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that shit fucked with me.
Well, even the episode was weird because that's not even really the opening scene. The opening scene is like him in a war fighting against zombies yeah. and aliens. Yeah. And, like they tell yeah. you, I love how they show you like, this is a sci-fi show. Let's keep that up. Don't forget that this is a sci-fi show. But we're going to talk more about it, but it's still a sci-fi show. And I love that introduction kind of threw me off. I don't know about you, B.
When you see that big ass alien.
Yeah. And then you see yeah. Jackie Robinson slice the alien yeah. with a baseball bat. Yeah. Like
that threw me off too. Cause I was just kind of like, okay, what the fuck are, you know, civil rights heroes are like superheroes or some shit like
yeah.
that? Like the first few minutes, I didn't
even think about it like
yeah,
that.
I was just like, are they going to go this route? I don't know. Like, yeah, so you're right. That the first 2 minutes, I was like, so this is what we're in? Like, this is what we're in for? Because, again, like I said, I didn't know what to expect coming into this. So
mm-hmm.
going in, I was completely blind. So I thought they was going to use that angle. Like, you know, it was going to be, you know, Harriet Tubman, another superhero. Or Jack, you know, like, I thought I was going to start seeing some shit like that. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think that at all.
I mean,
I knew it was either going to be a dream sequence or it was going to be something like that. I didn't think that the whole show was going to be
like
Martin Luther King out here with a fucking with a knife sword chopping shit
down. The way Jackie Robinson sliced that down, I was like, okay, so this is what they doing?
It seemed pretty apparent to me that it was going to be some kind of like I at first thought it was like when they showed his book, I assumed that that was him placing himself into that book, but then I don't think it was because I couldn't see why Jackie Robinson would be involved. So I'm still a little bit confused as to what that scene actually meant.
Maybe it was just him dreaming about what he read and how he's mixing his own personal heroes
version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be.
But for the first 2 minutes, that's a big in-depth look at that scene when you're just trying to take in like what, like yeah. if you're going, cause like I, like B, I'm going in green. Like I don't know what the fuck this is about.
So you thought the whole show was going to be that?
No. I knew it was going to be sci-fi mixed with racism cause I watched the trailer, but I didn't know how they were going to tell this story.
Yeah.
So it was just like, okay, are there aliens in this world? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, and then you see this big ass monster that looked like from Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
But after we get through that, with him, Atticus, going to Florida to Chicago, obviously his father's missing. That's why he's going up, but we run into his Uncle George. Mm-hmm. What do y'all think about the relationship dynamic between Atticus and Uncle George? Or just like Uncle George in general, like his introduction and like
I love
who
him.
He is. Like he's a, yeah. I like how he's a reader. And he's like a nerd, like, ever since you said we nerds, Mike, I've been thinking about that. And like, he, like, the way he talks, like, I can see he could be great for like this platform, but I like how he takes in so much information and he loves sharing it and he passes it down to everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, he even got his daughter writing comic books and stuff like that. Like,
I love that.
I thought that, I think his character is just dope. Mm-hmm. And obviously Courtney B. Vance is a legend, so.
Yeah, even them in the bed. Like that intimacy that they were sharing, you know, him having said, he's like, I want to see my wife and shit like that. I thought was really dope.
Freak on.
Yeah, man. Cause you don't really get a chance to see that. You freak on until he heard that damn noise and he came out there with that damn bat. He was like, oh shit, it's just Atticus. I was like, but yeah, so that was dope. So
it was funny because he was trying to avoid that conversation she was trying to bring up. Like, I'm thinking about coming with you on your next little journey. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm just trying to see my wife.
He's like, she's saying she would go instead of him. And I was like, wow, this is. But then when they reveal why, I was just pissed off again. It's like, man, they broke his or busted his knees up or whatever.
Yeah,
he's like, come on, man. Damn.
I'm glad they didn't show that scene, or I hope they don't.
They probably will. Like some sort of flashback.
It is HBO.
It's HBO and it's Jordan Peele. But I don't know.
I love how he does the. What is it? The Negro travel guide?
That is fucking so good.
I forgot about those things. You know what I mean? Like, I love, again, the history that they're dropping. Like, I forgot that those are actually real.
Yep.
And he's the one who has the courage to be the black person. Like, I'm going to do this because I know this is for the betterment of black people down the line.
He's gonna be the guinea pig.
Like that, that's a hard, hard job. I'm surprised his wife even is okay with him doing it, let alone wants to do it herself. Because that's just very dangerous.
Minnesota's a bigger cause, so they understand that it's needed. So yeah, that was good.
But was that his? That wasn't his purpose for going out, was it? I thought his purpose for going out was like as a job, but he was at it like this was part of that. Did I read that wrong?
I thought he has his own business. Like I thought he doesn't do it. I thought he was like a live. Because didn't Atticus visit him at his job?
He did.
Right.
At a li- was he at a librarian or?
I don't remember. You watched it twice, isn't it?
Yeah, so did I.
I never.
Both of y'all did.
But he be talking about everything but his job, except for the travel guide.
I don't know why. I thought that his whole purpose of leaving was part of his job. But I just assumed I missed the detail of why. But I didn't know that he was leaving specifically to do the Negro travel guide thing.
Yeah, he was already going to do that.
So that was his only purpose for driving out was to do that.
Well, he said like on the, like, we're going to go to these places. Like as I'm helping Atticus find his father, he didn't really want to do it anyway.
Confused. Okay. I might have to go back and watch it.
Cause for my, what I got from it was like, he didn't really want to go to where Atticus wanted to go to find his father.
Right.
Cause he, obviously this show is about secrets and stuff. So you could tell he's hiding some information.
Yeah, he knows some shit.
And he didn't want Atticus to be involved with it somehow, some way. But he was saying, I had to go to this area anyway. Like I might as well go out there. Like, people will probably learn, you know, I need to go to the, I haven't visited this area to tell black people this is okay. At least I haven't been here in a while. And they talk about going and stuff like that. And I love how that, adventure leads us to Letty. Her find that. Man, I've been a kid since she was, I think she was a kid. She's older than me, but she's been beautiful since I've loved her as a, you know, growing up and stuff, but to see her now is like, she has not aged at all. Like she,
As a kid. What was she on when she was a kid?
She was on East Bayou. I had a crush on her since she was in East Bayou. But, I love Letty and I love seeing her dynamic, even with her own family. Mm-hmm. Like we get introduced to her and, you can tell she's got the swag of the family. She, you know, she's the kind of person that can make anything lively or whatever, but she's also kind of flaky, as you can see based on how her family talks about her.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see her at that party, where we really see her at that party with her sister and like they get on stage and sing together, but you could tell they got beef even on stage when they were, when she was talking to the mic, you could tell her sister like, nigga, you know,
she's trying to hit that note a little higher.
But I like how they rocked out anyway and they kept it behind closed doors as far as like what her sister really wanted to get off her chest. And it was basically about like her Journey of Smollett's character missing out on her mother's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And that called, like, there's three siblings in that. It's Letty, her sister, and her brother. And I think they all have probably different daddies cause based off of skin tone, but, you know, I'm just going off of that.
Nah, it could be some Cosby Show shit.
That too. But they all have the same mother because they all cared about the mama like that, except for Letty. And we come to find out later on those reasons. But yeah, her introduction was dope. What did y'all think about her?
I thought she was great. I didn't know that was Smollett's sister until after the fact. I think we had discussed this offline that I didn't even know that was the Black Canary from Birds of Prey.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't realize that either until after.
Yeah, but she just jumped off screen, man. And it's just not looks. I think just her acting overall, it was just something about what she was doing. It was like, man, like I didn't know she could act that good.
No, she's really good. Like I follow her. Like she was on the show I like Friday Night Lights. Like she was on Underground. What I heard, she did great on that role. Like she's really, like she hasn't done the big thing yet. I think Birds of Prey was like her biggest look as like mainstream
she
audience.
Wasn't good in that though.
Well, I mean the movie. No, wasn't yeah, the good, script so. Wasn't really good.
Maybe it was, yeah, but no, I thought she was good. She definitely stood out to me.
Mm-hmm. So she tags along in this journey because she's trying to get to her brother's house. Cause like she tries to stay in Chicago with her sister, but her sister like, look, after the shit with like how much money I had to pay for mama's funeral and you ain't help out, let alone come. I'm living in this area. I can't afford to have you stay with me. So you got to go stay with our brother. So she tags along with Atticus and George and they go on this journey. And that's pretty much when the show really kicks off.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they go to somewhere in Massachusetts or Connecticut, like that. Some white area.
Talking about the diner?
Yeah, that's where we get to the diner scene.
Wait, what's the nickname that she calls Atticus? I'm trying to remember now.
Tick.
Tick, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was Uncle George, like, was he a dumbass? Was he dumb to try to stay there knowing that things change? Because they get to the diner. They make a first rest stop at this diner that's supposed to be on his map, a safe place for blacks. But it's changed.
Mm.
The name has changed. The outside look.
Just the way the town looked.
Everything changed. Yeah. But he said it's good because the last time I was here, this was black owned.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get in. They can already tell it's not. It's mm-hmm. nothing the same.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the white man walks out who was already in there, the guy who's trying to serve him barely wants to serve him. He in the back over here calling the cops and shit. If it wasn't for Letty going back there to use the restroom, they wouldn't have known. They probably would have died. But why was Uncle George... Letty and Tick was like, bro, we need to get out. He was like, nah, we pay good. Like, our money's good anywhere. You fought for the fucking war. Why should you have to leave?
Because he's older.
Yep.
And that's why, like, he went through. I mean, you got to think. I would imagine he's probably around 50, 55 or something on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, think of what he's already lived through. So just showing up to a diner and having a white man leave and then having the waiter be like, oh, I'm going to run to the back or whatever. He's seen worse. So them being like, we gotta go, we gotta go. He's just like, nah, fuck that. This is normal. This is fairly normal.
Mm-hmm.
He left when Letty came running out the back because she was like, they calling some people to come up here.
We got to go.
But before that, him just dealing with simple racism, mm-hmm. that was a sign of the time.
Yeah, that was like a daily thing for them at that time.
You know, I don't think he was stupid for wanting to stay. Now, if she had come back and said, yo, they're calling somebody to come up here to murder us and he still wanted to stay, yeah, then you're a dumbass.
Yeah.
But you saw, he was like, all right, well, I guess we better go.
Yeah, his age definitely played a factor because, you know, a lot of them, well, there were black people back then that just wanted to try to force change and be like, man, we're human too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our money is good. It's still green, that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. there's a stubbornness mm-hmm. to it, to the racism. Until it get to the point where it's dangerous,
right.
You know, it's life threatening. And then at that point, he has to go. Plus, you know, the past. So he felt like it was good. He noticed the changes, but like, nah, you know, I'm fairly certain this place is fine. So, he hit to his detriment and ignored the warning sign. But shout out to Letty was like, well, she came out there, damn, she was hauling ass.
In heels too, I think.
Yeah,
I was
like, we need to get the fuck up out of here. But I like the history that they dropped too. As well, he was like, Uncle, tell me why the White House, you know, is white. And then, you know, they dropped that history.
And then you find out that the white folks burned down the black owned bar or diner, mm-hmm. and they just took it over.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, that was pretty much it. So that was dope.
So obviously they barely escaped. And it was a weird escape because
didn't they try to tell her that she couldn't drive?
Well, he said, "Get out the car, let me drive." I'm like, "Nigga, the cops is right there. What the fuck? Just get in the car."
She was like, "I got it." She was driving her ass off, though.
That's what she said. I'm look. What she said, Letitia fucking Lewis.
I love that. My name is not girl. Isn't that what he was calling her? Girl.
Yeah, he was like, "Girl, if you don't do it, she's
Letitia fucking Lewis."
So that was the first fast car chase we get.
Yeah, that was real.
So the races of.
Which is, like, again, you just, like, I'm placing myself, like, in that time and just imagining that really happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, white just people in pickup pulling trucks. Pulling
up just to shoot you for just because you black.
And then you just disappear.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, that's fucked up. But that car chase ended weird as far as we get introduced to another car that kind of helps out, you know, Atticus and them. What do y'all think happened in that? Like, because the car goes in front of the police car and just
magic,
like a force field just comes out of nowhere and
just some sort of witch or something.
I'm sure.
So that's when the supernatural.
Did Mike, when that scene happened, were you kind of, did you perk up a little bit? Because I know, like you said, there was a lot of racist stuff that happened, but at that point, were you like, okay, what is this?
No, I mean, so. I was never like, I'm not going to watch this or I don't want to watch this. It was just more of a matter of I wasn't in the mood watching a whole bunch of racist shit. When that scene happened, I was like, okay, finally, yes, we're breaking away from the racist shit. Now we're going to see some monsters and shit. But that's not exactly what happened. It kind of went back a little bit. But yeah, that scene was actually pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. And I thought it was actually dope, though.
I thought it was crazy that he was actually shooting back.
Well, I mean, the war, so I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah, but shooting at white people, bro.
Well, I kind of, that was a little bit out of character, I think.
Really?
I don't think back then, I don't think we would have been shooting back. We had just been trying to get away.
Yeah. At that point, it's just survival. Like, I got to get out and try to survive this shit. I ain't trying to be in no confrontation. And I only got one gun. They got about four or five rifles. So at that point, it's just surviving.
And God forbid you kill one of them.
Right.
Because your ass is dead then.
Right. Well, I thought he, I mean, I didn't think he'd give a fuck. I don't think he gave a fuck. Like,
but that's what we're saying. Yeah. I don't know that was really accurate.
Oh, okay. Toward the times and stuff like that.
But I mean, that's smug, right? Not a big deal.
Yeah. But that's when they, you know, drive off. And well, we see a white woman come out the car that helps them. Mm-hmm. And her and Atticus had a look. They shared a connected eyes, but then they drive off.
Jungle
and
fever then, type shit.
And then we see Letty. They stop at Letty's brother's house. I like that scene. Because Letty and her brother, obviously they have an argument about their mother's funeral and stuff like that and just their relationship with the mom. But outside, when Uncle George and Atticus was having a conversation, Uncle George was like, look, we gotta get out the house. This is family business. We can't go in there. But they had their own family conversation about Uncle George feeling some type of way of how, Montrose, who's, Atticus' father, like their upbringing and how abusive their dad was, especially to Montrose. And then Atticus is like, because Uncle George said, I wish I did more for him. I wish I stood up for more for him. And he was like, why didn't you do that for me? I was getting my ass beat by him too.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, where the fuck was you at for me? And I was like, I didn't think he understood. Like, he was trying to basically say, like, damn, I have that a regret. He was like, nigga, you have this regret too. Like, you ain't been saying shit for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how, like, you don't really see black men talk about trauma like that.
Right.
Especially one who came from the war. And how kind of his own father used that against him. Like, it was that scene to me was just, I don't know what y'all thoughts were about that scene, but I took a lot out of that.
Me too.
I think the thought that went through my head was the family line. That's family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point do you intervene on family stuff when it turns abusive? Especially if you're outside of that family. And it sounded like Atticus really wanted to go intervene because it sounded like it was turning violent. And he'd been through that.
Mm-hmm.
And George stopped him. Think about how that could have played out in his upbringing when he was going through that stuff and nobody came to stop him. So that's what went through my head. Just, you know, the number of families that don't inject themselves into hostile, abusive situations because it's family, that family code.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I thought about.
After that scene, they get have a little family gathering, and Letty's brother kind of tells him about the town that they're trying to go into, and specifically about the sheriff and just the weird incidents that's been going on, like what they call them, werewolves, or not werewolves, but like wolf attacks, maybe, you know, badgers, whatever. People been getting cut up.
I kind of wish they'd left that out.
You wish that was a more surprise?
Yeah, because I was expecting a monster attack because they said that. And it's like, why can y'all leave this as a real genuine shock? Because since we didn't really know shit about what was happening on the show, I feel like it would have been nice for when they got to the woods and that thing attacked, for us to genuinely be surprised. Whereas me personally, when I saw that scene, I was like, okay,
where's it at?
Here we go. Yeah. Here it comes. Here comes the werewolf. So I kind of wish they had left that out.
Interesting, because I heard it, but then it didn't register when
same.
He said
he was just focused on the sheriff.
Really? Yeah, yep. Same for me.
So it was a shocker for me.
Yeah, it was for me too.
See, I guess maybe because I watch 99.99% horror movies, and that's a typical horror movie trope. Is if they ever say, when you get to this town, just know there's like all these disappearances that have been happening. Expect when they get to the town, a disappearance is going to happen.
Well, I can see how some people may not get it because of Sheriff Hunt and the shit that he was doing.
They said some kind of attacks.
Yeah, but he was saying like he didn't really know what it was, so he said maybe it's connected to the sheriff.
So what I thought was going to happen was I thought the sheriff was going to be a werewolf. So that was not correct, but I knew there was going to be a monster attack the second they got there.
You know what, I think probably one of the reasons why I didn't think about it that way was because I thought so much racist shit had been happening. I thought that was more racist shit happening, that the sheriff was just kidnapping and killing black
people. Yeah, that's what I was saying, yeah.
So yeah, so I didn't even, because it didn't even, I didn't even think about the werewolf shit. I didn't even connect it. Because
They mentioned, you're right as far as like your assumption, like there's a monster down there, but like Ken was saying, I was thinking like, I could see how people could overlook that because the sheriff is so fucking racist. Like he was more talking about like, you don't even want to meet with him. You might as well take your chances with whatever's in the woods compared to him.
But see, if this was not a horror show, then I would have been with y'all.
Yeah.
But since it's a horror show, or supposedly like a sci-fi-ish horror show, giving that away that easily, I was just like, come on. Because those monsters are fucking cool. And I would have liked to have been like, ooh, whoa, shit.
What did Atticus call him? The Sagos? Sagos?
Huh?
He called him a word. He was saying the... He was describing the monsters before we see him.
Who was?
Remember when, so after they leave the brother's house, remember they stop, him and Uncle George have an argument about directions.
Yeah, I remember
and they
that.
Pull over, and then that's when we get introduced to Sheriff Hunt. Cause remember when Atticus and, Letty get out the car, they go towards the woods, and I think Letty says, what's that noise? And he was like, maybe, Sogoth.
Cause he was mad about something, right?
Who?
Atticus. Is that why he got out the car?
Yeah, he was.
He was going through some emotion in the moment. She came to talk him down or something.
I think he was mad about where they were going. He was like, "We were supposed to be here. Like, we got to." I think it was the sundown thing. He was like, "We got to get out of. Like, we got to find a place because."
Yeah, you're partly right. I'm pretty sure he was mad because he felt like they were getting lost.
Yeah, it was
like there was supposed to be a turn or something, and the turn wasn't there.
Yeah. That's what it was. Felt like they were losing time, so he was in his feelings.
Yeah.
And she got out and talked to him, and then here comes the sheriff.
But see, I didn't like that shit either, where he was like describing the creature. I was like, man, what are you guys doing? Like, why are you giving so much away? Like, what's the odds of him knowing it? Well, actually, now that I take that back, because we don't know, there might be a reason why he knows what those things are and why they're there. Never mind.
Yeah.
Because he, like you said earlier, one of y'all said, he's clearly hiding secrets. So maybe he does know exactly what those creatures are.
Well, I think he may not know it as far as like, it's going to come to him type shit. Like he will unlock something in, because obviously his whole makeup is a little bit different than most people.
But didn't he describe them?
Yeah, he did. He said they're mad, but he read it in a book, because remember him and his uncle like reading.
But that's what I'm saying. What's the odds that he reads it in a book and then he just happens to say, well, it could be this creature that I read in a book recently. And then it happens to be that creature.
They did a lot of that shit.
They did.
Yeah, like, ding. Oh, I got a clue. Like, the Count of Monte Cristo or something like that. That's in the second one.
Well, they better reconcile that. They better explain why that's happening. Because if it's just a matter of, oh, this is just a coincidence, I'm going to be annoyed because that's bad writing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
Like, you already mentioned though, there could be these werewolves. Then you get to the town and then he's like, it could be this specific creature that I read about in the book. They need to reconcile like how that's happening.
That is weird because who would think that werewolves like really exist?
Exactly. Yeah. You hear something moving in this tall grass. Why would your first idea go to this a werewolf as opposed to a fucking dog or a cat?
He did say it. He did say it jokingly, but that is a random reach to go to first,
yeah. And then it ends up being that.
Yeah, especially how the, like he said, massive bubble blob with hundreds of eyes. That's literally what the motherfucker was. Mm-hmm. But we get introduced to Sheriff Hunt. What did you guys think? Like you talked about earlier with the slow chase scene, or just his character alone, like that interaction with him and Atticus. That scene where he, man, that's a hard scene to really watch. Mm-hmm. So like. And I watched it twice and I was just like, it still hit me. Like, what, like, I think you mentioned on Is the Mic Line, what would you do in those situations? Like, you don't know how you're going to react if you're put in situations where someone is like that upfront racism in front of you.
I mean, well, shit. I don't think I'd react any different now than I would have back then. Cause back then you like, okay, well, if I do X, Y, Z, I'm going to get killed. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to do X, Y, Z, I'm going to get killed. Mm-hmm. So I don't do the whole talking back to cops thing. I mean, people can say like, oh, no, son, ain't gonna let no cop talk to me no kind of way. Okay. All right. Yeah. You keep thinking that until that cop fucking puts a gun in your face. Yep. And then come back to me and let me know.
B, did you think he was going to talk back?
No, I mean, just because of the times that they were in, no, I didn't think he was going to talk back.
Mm-mm. I thought he kind of was because he was a war vet. Mm-mm. And he kind of, I thought he, for some reason, I feel like he has war a little turper. Yeah. Huh?
War vet and young.
Yeah.
You know. So
but he ain't stupid. He knows.
Right. Yeah, he know. I'm saying that time, you know, living in that time, you know.
He wanted to talk back. You can tell because he was like really getting mad. But he knows if he says anything, that could be it.
Yeah.
I did like that scene, though, because that cop, he played that fucking
He
role.
Really did, didn't he?
He played that
role. Even him driving.
That might really be him.
Even him driving in the back, I'm like, bruh, this shit is like.
That
and then he stopped at the railroad track,
that
too.
Shit is, like, that shit is real, man.
That was tense.
Yeah.
I know I mean, it was a slow-ass car chase, but I think that was brilliant.
Yeah.
It made It made you stay. It was like Get Out. Like how certain scenes and Get Out, like,
how they
uncomfortable.
Coming to the sun. You seeing it getting lower and lower and like, what time is it? It's 7-something. Okay, we got 2 minutes. Like,
That was actually really well done, I thought.
Can you imagine, like, looking at a clock and you can't speed up?
Oh, man.
Like, just the...
And you can't slow down. It's speed.
You can't slow down. Yeah, it's...
it's black speed.
Black speed. Yeah, you can't speed up because the cops is right behind you. They can flag you down for speeding.
And they can do whatever they want.
Do whatever they want.
Yep. Yeah. And, like, that's the crazy thing. That's not even... You're not even thinking about getting caught. It's like, what happens after you get caught? Mm. Yeah. That's the worst part. That's the horror part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
God damn.
Yeah, it just really highlighted how racism in the country is a horror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And only for them to be set up. That was the thing that blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You cross over the tracks and
there was the cops waiting for them on the other side.
Remember? Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was like, wait, set up. The ones that were in the road blocking them off.
He basically herded them into the other cops.
It was just a trap, the whole time. Yeah,
and just took them off into the woods, man.
Oh, that shit was making me so uncomfortable. I was like, God damn. Come on.
Well, when they had the guns on them?
Nah, like just that whole scene was already tense enough. Mm-hmm. And then the idea of, oh, they fucking got away. Oh, nope,
no
more
No,
cops.
They didn't. Yep.
I was like, man, this is not what I wanted today with this show. I was like, come on, can black people just be black people in a horror movie?
Yeah, that was definitely rough seeing them stuck.
Oh man.
And you know, watching and listening to all the shit talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just can't help it. I put myself in that situation. Yeah. Like, what would I do? And there's a sense of helplessness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, you know, like you said, Mike, like you really can't talk back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't talk back, like one way or the other, you're going to die. There's nothing, like, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But and then like, if you read some of the horror stories of shit that really happened, like you're in the woods, nobody's around. the things that they can do before they kill you is what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
They can shoot off a pinky. They can cut off a damn fucking finger or poke your eye out. Shoot you. Like,
I thought they were going to rape her.
Yeah, they can do that too.
First, my brain went. I was like, come on, man. I'm not trying to watch this.
Yep. I didn't think about that.
That's what they did back then.
Mm. Yeah, that
a
was
pretty not, black girl. Yeah. Immediate rape.
Oh yeah, first thing they're gonna rape her in front of the man
to show their dominance.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was glad that they didn't do that because I do not work well with rape scenes. I can watch motherfuckers get their dicks cut off. I can watch motherfuckers get their breasts cut off in a movie. A rape scene, I can't do it. That's the first thing I thought. And I was like, please don't do this. And when they threw her on the ground and she was face down, I was like, here we go.
Yep.
Here we fucking go. But they didn't do that. So I was like, oh. But they might have if the fucking...
Yeah, they had more time.
If the creatures didn't show up. Mm-hmm. Or the writer was male. Is the writer a woman?
Misha Green.
Well, she's the showrunner.
She did
the teleplay. Yep.
Oh.
She does the teleplay for the, well, she writes on all the episodes this season.
Okay.
But she solely wrote the first three.
Got it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's to your point, Ken. That is actually a good point. Cause yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, bro, I hope that doesn't go that way, but I'm glad it didn't.
We'll be back after this quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we get to the final act of the first episode where they in the woods. This is where the shit happened. Mm-hmm. They get, we thinking that they all gonna die or worse. And then what, the monster saved the day. What did y'all think of how they looked that, woo, and all that shit?
That little noise.
Yeah. And,
man, yeah, that shit looked the crazy as fuck, man. I mean, yeah, I thought the way they looked was freaky as hell, man. I was just like, damn, what the fuck? And then, like I said, that's when I thought, I'm like, okay, so we're doing this. We're gonna have monsters say, you know, save us black folks from racist white folks. That's what I was just thinking, all types of shit. Like,
you was ready to catch some type of wave.
Right. I was just trying to catch something. Like, okay, so this is what they're doing?
A monster saving us from monsters.
Monster saving us from racist white folks. Like, okay, this is pretty cool. I'm for this.
They smell racism and they attack it.
And they attack it like bam at nighttime. Ain't no sundown going down in this motherfucker. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool the way they look. I mean, the special effects was dope as hell. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
Well, the twist for me was that that the monsters wasn't there to just eat the white people. They didn't come to save them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I was like, damn, like them motherfuckers want to eat them too.
Yeah, but that was my initial thought.
No, I got you. I said, but yeah, I kind of sort of thought the same thing until I saw them motherfuckers. Yeah. So yeah.
But, yeah, I was a bit. Just a tiny bit turned off with the CGI. Just a bit.
Why you thought it was bad?
It wasn't that great. It was. Really? It really wasn't that great. It looked very, very, very fake. And of course, it is fake. But I'm saying it just.
I was going to ask you, what's good season? Like, what was the last good season?
I'm more into practical effects. And okay. I think they could have, I mean, they had to make the creatures dig under the ground or whatever. So clearly they couldn't do all that with practical effects. But the CGI just looked really video gamey to me when they jumped out, and then when whenever that whistle thing went off and they jumped and went back under the, or no, was it the lights that made them go under the ground?
It was the light.
The light. When the lights made them go under the ground, I was like, oh, that looks bad. That looks bad. Even the dirt that was getting kicked up looked bad.
Mm. Mm.
Same thing happened in the second episode. I know we ain't got there yet, but the second episode had bad effects too.
CGI
is not great. And what you would think with the budget that they have for this, it'd be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you add Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams, you should think the budget is open.
Yeah, and it's for HBO. Like, we're like...
Especially with all the money they spent on Game of Thrones, we know that they're willing to invest in the show.
Yeah, you got to think, them dragons in Game of Thrones looked real.
Those dragons,
these little creature things, they didn't look good. They looked really... really phony.
Some Resident Evil shit.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what it looked like. The Resident Evil doll.
Watch it again. I thought it looked fine on my TV.
You probably just got done playing a video game. You went straight to the, straight to the show.
He said, this is a
with the controller in his hand.
He said, he was watching the epilogue.
It looked fine to me. Yeah.
But what I like that scene. The CGI, I've gotten used to just bad CGI. So, like, to me, it's like, if you're going to have monsters, they're just going to be monsters.
I should be watching sci-fi CGI on an HBO show.
Good point. Exactly. Yep. We shouldn't have Sharknado CGI.
Right.
On a... Like, they shouldn't have this fucking black outline around the creatures. It just, that shouldn't happen.
Well, I mean,
that took me out a little.
Misha coming from WGN, so maybe she ain't used to CGI.
Yeah, you might be right.
Maybe they're like, all right, second season, we gonna see better. But what did you think about the fact that, like, when they bite people, they turn into them?
Standard.
That's, yeah.
That's standard to y'all? Yeah.
For a werewolf or a vampire.
They already said it was a werewolf, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like that they mixed up the lore of vampire and werewolf. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
But them biting the guy and the people turning into one, I was like, okay, that's typically how it goes.
Yeah. It's just, once again, they get these, the children of the night or something. It was like, oh, vampires.
I did like that. Yeah. That's like one of my favorite parts from the Bram Stoker's Dracula, when he says, listen to them, the children of the night, what sweet music they make. But at the same time, I was like, why are you saying that shit right now?
Right.
I was thinking that too. I was like, what makes you think, like, you go through a whole traumatic, you just got saved by monsters, quote unquote, technically. And now you about to get eaten by them. What are you thinking about?
You know, you're quoting shit from a book. Like, bro, if you don't shut your ass the fuck up.
That's like, I'm like, Atticus, shoot that motherfucker, bro. He was mad as hell. Nigga was just looking at him. Remember when he was turning?
You know what? No, I just connected. Cause like in the book, I don't know if anybody, have you read Bram Stoker's Dracula? Mm-hmm. Okay, if you've seen the movie, mm-hmm, at least.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
So remember the vampires, they would turn into wolves. And I didn't even think about this until now. So when he says that whole, like, listen to them, the children of the night, what sweet music they make, in the book and in the movie, Dracula is talking about these wolves that are howling. And I never even thought about that. Because at first, like I just said, I was like, oh, I like how they combine the lores. Mm-hmm. But nah, they really didn't. That's kind of straight from the book. They did turn into wolves. Dracula himself turned into a wolf.
Because I know werewolves and vampires are interconnected. Like, they're,
yeah,
can't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know that.
That's, but I just didn't, the whole biting one turning into, and then turning into a werewolf, that's kind of a different thing. But it was still well done.
Mm.
How did you think about how it ended?
One other thing is just like, you, even in that moment where everybody's life is in danger from this external creature.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers still won't let him go.
Oh,
still,
yeah.
Didn't trust.
Yeah, hey, that was it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, what kind?
Man. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. You finna die and you still don't trust this black
dude. And they made Letty go run to the car to get,
Boy, she was running. That's how you run in a horror movie.
Hell yeah.
That's how
you fucking
style, run,
boy,
in a horror movie. You don't be like, ah, and you fall and shit.
Didn't look back once.
Didn't look back not once. Her whole focus was getting to that damn car. Her ass was like,
she said she ran track in high school.
Perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Form was perfect.
Cause he was like, actually, you picked the best person cause she ran track.
Man, that's how you run in a horror
film. That's funny, man. Oh, like Cat Williams in Atlanta season 2. Man. You remember that?
Yes.
That nigga was gone. Yeah.
Alligator man.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so. So we find out that the creatures don't like light, period. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, and they use that. Letty's, I loved her scene pretty much when she got to the car and she was fighting off the creatures and stuff like that using light. Loved it. What did y'all think about how the episode ended as far as that scene? And then as we get to them making it out and going to the white man's house, pretty much.
Weren't they walking?
Yeah. They had to walk because their car, because she drove the car into the house.
She drove the car in there like that. But that just seemed random as fuck.
Yeah.
But
that was bad.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was cool. Like, I think the whistle was what saved them. So again, I'm like, okay, that's something going on with that whistle. Or whoever is coming into the white, why wait until that moment to do it? You could have did this shit earlier. I just like the running by her and, just her being scared and then him like instilling that confidence in her. Like you could tell that he was definitely in the war cause he didn't get, I think she even mentioned that, like he didn't get shaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that line. He said, cause fear ain't gonna help me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I thought that was dope. So, but yeah, I thought she was great and George great. So yeah, I mess with it.
Go ahead.
I liked how they were, because like the whole artificial light hurting vampires, that's not very common. So I did like how they made it to where, okay, these things are werewolves, but they're also sort of vampires, and we can use the car lights to hurt them. I thought that was actually kind of a cool idea, and the way they did it was actually dope. The whistle was interesting, because I was like, all right, what's going on with the whistle? Like, who's blowing this whistle? But I'm trying to remember how exactly the episode ended.
Like, they were making their last stand. They had the flares.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
And then it cut off.
And then, like, you saw, like, basically, it looked like 20 of them were just surrounding them.
Yeah, but then it was like a whistle.
Yeah, something. That's when the whistle hit.
Yeah.
But I didn't like her driving the car into the house, though, either. I thought that was kind of corny. How you know where people are standing? And the thing is, again, that's something that's been done a bunch of times. Yeah. Like, they did it in Lost Boys. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of felt like that's kind of what they were alluding to. And I was like, you could have just not had that part.
A little horn. It was
Yeah. I guess that was the sign for the old uncle and Atticus to get the fuck out the way. But I don't know. The transformation of the sheriff into a creature was fucking great. Mm-hmm. Now, that was good CGI. I don't know. I guess they spent all the money on that and they left the little dog things. But that was actually really well done, from what I can remember, at least.
Did you like how the first episode ended with them? Like, when it ended with them going to the white man's house and he's saying, like, we've been expecting. What did you think?
That's how it ended.
Yeah, right, what did you think about that? Like, oh, shit, where are they going to take us now?
I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck they didn't got their ass into now? Like,
you think they're in worse trouble or they got saved?
At that time, I think they was in worse trouble because I'm like, I don't trust this. I said, this looks too good to be true. You're in this beautiful, big-ass house. And you got a white person smiling. I've been expecting you. I was like, oh, no, hell no. I was like, hell fuck no. Hell fuck no.
Hell to the no,
hell
no,
to
no.
The no, no, no. My ass at home saying, oh, shit. Like, someone that popped up, I was like, oh, shit. That's what I said.
Never trust when a white man opened a door smiling like that and said, we've been expecting you.
Never expect that. Nope. Thank you, sir. We're going to walk and catch the next rest stop.
Right. Like, fuck this shit.
Fuck that. Yeah. I don't care. We got to walk some more. We just got to keep on treading. We ain't going in this house.
I thought the same thing, too. I was like, it's usually if something's too good to be true, it is. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get to the second episode, Whitey's on the Moon. I love that title, by the way.
Gil Scott Heron.
Mm-hmm. The first question I had after watching, well, what was y'all first reactions
to the episode?
To the second episode?
Yeah, I mean, I've never watched the episode that I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
That's what I was saying.
But I was still like, okay, I'm still invested. I still can't wait for next episode. But that's the one I said I watched twice. I watched that episode twice, and I even tweeted a meme out where like I had put after watching Lovecraft episode 2. Y'all know if y'all seen that meme where the dude like, hey, yo, what the fuck? Like, I had posted that shit because I was really like, hey, yo, what the fuck? It was so much shit happening,
man,
in that episode. But at the end, I still didn't know, like, what the fuck was going on. So, but it was still it was a fun episode to watch because I enjoyed it. But I was still kind of like, how the fuck I don't know what the fuck going on? But I still,
it's only two episodes in. Right, we don't know what
the hell. And I'm still, like, enjoying this. Like, yeah, I was definitely confused after episode 2.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. It was, I like sci-fi shit anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was sci-fi, mythical, magic shit. So I was like, all right, cool. If this is where we're going to go. And I think it was a good departure from, you know, the first episode. It was a shocker for a lot of people. I did see online that a lot of people are like, what the fuck? I had to jump off immediately because I'm like, okay.
They be thirsty to just say some shit.
But yeah, and I think because it went away from what people's expectations were from the first episode, they probably wanted some more racist, hidden history shit, mm-hmm. and they didn't get that at all. So they were like, man, I'm off this shit.
Peace.
Oh, they wasn't watching no more?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it.
Oh, no, I mean, episode. I liked it. I was just like, I just didn't know what the fuck was going on, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I saw what Ken saw online. I saw, because I couldn't watch it the night it aired, so I watched it the next day, and I got my ass on Twitter. And I saw quite a few people being like, okay, I'm out. I think they were expecting it to be just a horror show with monsters, but there's going to be a whole lot of these, like Watchmen type, where it's a racial thing. Yep. It's just going to permeate the show. And then that second episode where it was all over the fucking place, I think they were just like, nah, that's not what I wanted. And even me, like, I got halfway through the episode and I just started it over. Because I was like, I must have missed something. Because I don't know what the fuck happened.
It just jumped. Like,
that's why I watched it twice. Because yeah. I was just like, yo, what the fuck did I just watch?
I assumed I must have looked away. Or I must have blinked too hard. You know what I'm saying?
The same thing I thought. Yeah. I was focused. I didn't get up and go to the kitchen or nothing. I was watching this episode the whole fucking time. And I was like, okay, what am I missing here? Like, what the fuck?
I couldn't piece together the whole thing about him being the last heir to the whoever that guy's name, the white dude.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And I had to, that's why I started it over. And when I started it over, I got it. The first time I was just like, bro, what?
I thought it was like, that was my first question. Like, is this the most confusing follow-up to a series premiere ever?
I would say so.
Because I was like, it felt like there was three episodes in one.
Yeah.
Based off of just the storyline. Because like, how they started off as far as like, him only remembering and everyone else forgot what happened the night before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, maybe he's special in this way. Like maybe his bloodline or whatever. But then it just kept going out left. Like it like.
Then he having visions of something. He fighting the woman.
The woman that jumped in his room. Yeah. That's when I really got lost. I think that's when I started.
Yeah. And then the uncle was dancing with the deceased wife or whatever. Yeah. And then she
was fucking him.
Yeah.
Lady was fucking
Atticus and shit. And you know, and damn dick, the snake came out as a dick. So it was just like, I was like,
he was when, like I saw that, when I saw that, no, when I saw that, bro,
what the fuck is going on?
When I saw that, I was like, bro, why y'all do this to this show?
I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I'm like, oh my God. But I was still glued. I was still
they're
like,
trying to do Black Snake Moan in sci-fi.
Man, I was like, what in the fuck? Yeah. I'm like, all right, I missed something.
And then you see the girl, like the white girl, like looking at him, the one that saved him from the car chase.
Christina.
She's like looking at each of they, I guess, reacting, mm-hmm. how they're reacting.
Like all of them, all the white men in there too.
Yeah. So like, I was just like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. What the fuck? Yeah,
they were entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
which we always have been.
They used to do that.
And always will be.
Yeah, they used to do that. Slave. Yeah, that's true.
And we also found out that earlier in the episode that the townspeople, well, the sheriff, I think that's who she is. She has the whistle that can call off the monsters because she used it for the dogs. That's how Atticus figured that out.
But that wasn't her that used it though, right? You talking about the kind of country-ish woman that had the dogs?
Yeah.
I don't think she's the same one that used the whistle to call off the monsters.
No, she didn't, but I'm saying they have a whistle that they are aware of the monsters. They know how to control them.
So you're saying you don't think she was the one that did it in the first episode?
Mm-mm.
No, I think happens to have one?
I think Christina did it.
Yeah, I think Christina did it too.
Okay.
Do you think Christina's a good or a bad, like, what's
I think she's ambiguous at this point. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I think that Christina used the whistle because apparently Christina has a whistle. I don't think it was that same woman that used the whistle to call off the monsters. And I don't even know she knows what the monsters are.
No, she did, because remember later on that episode when the monsters come back, she used the whistle.
That's why I'm asking, because she used the whistle in that episode to call them off.
The one with the dogs did?
Yeah. Christina told her to do it though. I think that.
Yeah, Christina was in the same scene.
Yeah.
Remember when they tried to get away from the town? Well, the first time.
I'm trying to remember. And I watched it again. No. Yeah. No, I didn't watch the whole episode twice. Yeah. I only watched it 1.5 times because I started it over.
Yeah.
So I don't remember that scene.
Remember they was walking in the woods and then the uncle stops in the middle of the woods and he's like, hold on.
And he's talking about the why he's an heir.
Yeah. He said your mama she told me something about her grandmother.
The story. And she was running through the woods and she was pregnant. And that's how he's an heir to the older white. I got that part, but when did the monsters
literally come out? Monsters come up right after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's nightfall at that time, and then the ground start coming up. They come out.
Remember, she told him, you need to get your ass home because you don't want to be out here at when it turns sundown.
I just don't remember. I don't remember the other person being there and using the whistle. Yeah. I thought it was Christina, but okay, I believe y'all. I'm about to go back and rewatch it, anyways.
But yeah, they were, I mean, we find out Christina is the daughter of Samuel, who's like the big, one of the big head honchos in this group
that's
called
the President.
Fitz.
That's Fitz, man.
It's from Scandal. He's in charge of this thing called the Order, which is like some older than the KKK, cause they talk about that.
What do you say? That they were too poor?
Yeah, they're too poor and stupid or something like
poor and stupid. I love that. That was funny.
So we don't know exactly what the order is and what they're trying to do, but we know that Atticus is a big part of their mission, which is to get a portal open to the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way Samuel was describing himself, he says he sees himself as Adam,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to get back to where the best part of the human era. I don't know what that means, but we kind of figure it out in the episode as Atticus figures out his lineage, as you mentioned, Mike, from his uncle. What do you think that story is going to end, like, going with that? Like, cause it was kind of quick for him to figure it out and then him to use it, mm-hmm. like right at that dinner that they had with all the white folks and stuff and say, like, look, based on, cause, during the whole vision thing that they were going through, the uncle was able to figure it out quickly. And as he figured it out, he found a secret room and he found out the order is basically guidelines, their rule book. Mm-hmm. And he found a loophole in it. Like, if you're a descendant, especially if you're a direct heir, you can run this whole shit.
He was talking mad shit.
Mad mm-hmm. shit. He was like,
oh, y'all get out.
He said, I want everybody but Sam to get the fuck out.
Now, that's the order.
And then Sam looked at him like, look, all these other motherfuckers care about the rule book but me. Mm-hmm. He's like, don't get overstepped now, nigga.
What'd he say? I forgot the line, but he said, don't confuse blah, blah, something with indispensable.
Oh yeah,
important. Or, yeah,
he said something like, "I need you," but yeah, I forget what the line was too. But he did say something like that.
Yeah,
don't confuse necessity with indispensable. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty dope to see. Like, okay, is he the big bad or is he just you know how like Star Wars is? There's like generals and shit. Mm-hmm. Like before,
I think we got the answer to that. I don't know if he's dead, even though he looked like he turned to dust. Because it's Fitz. So, I mean, to have him in just in one episode seems weird to me. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
I want to talk about the visions going back to that with Uncle George. The woman he was with was actually Montrose's wife, late wife. His what? Brother's late.
I didn't know who she was.
That was his sister-in-law. That's his sister-in-law. Montrose's mm-hmm. wife who died, Atticus' mom. Uncle George was in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he had that picture in his wallet when it was like, I didn't know who it was either, but I had to read up on it and find out. So that he was dancing with his brother's wife.
Yeah, and a good old dance too.
Yeah.
And he knew she was fucked up and wasn't supposed to be there, but he took it.
He took that dance anyway. He was like, look, shit.
Dance anyway, man.
Hey, you know how the episode first started off? They happy as hell. They all moving on.
That's when I knew something was wrong. I was like, what the hell's going on here?
That's why Atticus is like, nigga, they got all your favorite books. Letty, how the hell they know your size? Mm-hmm. He got all these dresses for you.
Yeah.
When a nigga asking the right question, that's when they got dumbfounded. But yeah, you could tell like it was too good to be true. But he, you know, for how the episode played out, it made sense for him because he got to enjoy his favorite things, mm-hmm. I guess, in a sense. And then even Letty with her confession about the trauma she dealt with her mom to the fake Atticus was actually a good scene as well.
Yeah.
Until the snake dick.
You know what? I'm glad that whole thing was fake because I'm like, oh man, y'all making them have this love interest like already. Like,
oh, I mean, it's coming, so I was okay with it.
I mean, now we really know that there must be something that, or it, I guess, yeah, it is coming, but I don't know. It just felt too soon. I just liked them kind of just being just individual characters, like platonic.
Well, this. The only thing that bothered me about that shit was just, once again, the CGI was trash.
Yeah.
That snake looked ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It looked like something from Charmed. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it did.
I was thinking this whole time, I was like, why? It has potential to be really good at HBO standards, but I'm getting like CW.
Yes.
Old WB type shit.
Man.
Like, all right.
Even True Blood had better fucking CGI than this. Like, what is happening?
What did y'all think about, we finally get to see Atticus' father, like not in like no flashback or anything, but like his actual scene with Montrose mm-hmm. when they find out that he was actually, the order actually kept him in a dungeon locked up. So Atticus found his father, and they find out based on Uncle George that he did something, what was it, Monte Cristo? where he dug out, but he looked like he didn't dig himself out the jail.
Your father's favorite book.
My favorite scene of the whole episode is him getting out that that coal and shaking his hands like, I made it. And they like, Macho's, get your ass in this car. He was like, what the hell are you doing in here? We need to save you. He was like, nigga, I saved my damn self. Bro, that exchange was, I was laughing the whole time. Yeah. B, what was your thoughts on it?
I thought it was hilarious, man. I was just like, oh shit, they got,
Michael K.
I be getting ready to call him his The Wire.
Omar.
Oh yeah.
Every time I be like, oh shit, they go Omar. But I thought it was cool, man. I mean, you know, I wasn't really nothing else to do except just laugh at that part. I'm thinking that, and I was thinking too, like, they're not gonna get away. Like, once they got in the car, I'm like,
too good.
I was like, man, something about to happen. I said, I don't feel right about this. I'm like, they ain't about to just go off into the sunset or go to their destination they're trying to go to. Mm-hmm. I was like, something was about to happen. This is all happening, just too much, coincidence or whatever. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, something bad about to happen. I'm glad they got his dad, but something is about to happen right now.
He said, I ain't talked to you in 5 years, and you believe a letter I wrote under duress.
And then he said, he was like, don't talk to Attica like that. He's like, that's my son. I can talk to whoever I want to.
That shit was funny,
bro. That shit, I was like, bro.
Letty was in the back enough to come.
Letty was like, if y'all don't come on, we got white people trying to get us. Y'all here trying to have a family argument and shit.
Oh man, that was hilarious. But yeah, after they try to escape and the force field comes back again, that's when Samuel was like, all right, cut the shit. I warned you before. Mm-hmm. Now shit gotta happen, bro. When they shot Letty, bro, I was like, all right. Man.
I was like, come on, bro. I'm about to stop watching this shit.
You should the only black woman on the show? Like, and then...
He shot her good, too.
Yeah. I mean, you shooting somebody in the stomach, it's a wrap, no matter what.
Mm. Did you think she was dead, though?
For how they dragged it out, yeah.
Like that was it. Like, she was done for the series.
Yeah, I don't think they was going to have a character like her. Well,
I didn't know where the show was going. Based on that point in time of the episode, I'm like, bro, I just have to submit to the show.
Right. I didn't know where they was going with it anyway.
I had a feeling she would come back.
You did?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to kill her for good.
Because I didn't think my man was going. I didn't think he was going.
Me neither.
You know what I'm saying? So
I could see him dying before Letty.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because there's a love interest and they gotta solidify it. This is a typical horror movie trope. They're not gonna kill off the love interest, but leave the fucking uncle.
Hey, we don't.
They're gonna kill the uncle and leave the love interest because there's always got to be some sort of love interest in the movie.
Could have been another love interest that we didn't know about. Maybe in the future. I don't know.
That does go to Rob's point. He always did say there's always a love story in every movie or like a love angle.
Yeah,
it's crazy. So he shot Letty and Uncle George.
Yeah, man.
I don't know who was going to survive between the two. Once he shot Uncle George, like, okay, somebody has to survive. You can't kill off half the cast in the second episode. Somebody had to survive. And I was trying to think, like, who would be that one?
Well, process of elimination. They introduced Michael K. Williams. Take away George.
Yeah. Good point.
Damn, but I fucked with Uncle George, though.
I did, too. Yeah. That one hurt me, man.
Yeah, I like, because he's a good actor, though. I always liked him in a lot of
stuff. When he walked around there and saw him in that car, and man, the way he was crying
and shit.
Yeah,
man.
And that's the thing about it. Like, I just met this dude, George. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Two episodes, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yep, me
that's
too.
When, that's how funny. It hurt, man.
That's when you know a show pulled you in and good acting at the same time.
Yeah, because that scene was like, I'm sorry, Uncle George, I'm sorry. Yeah. And especially like where they went through in that, even in the first two episodes, like their journey together, how they opened up to each other.
Yeah.
And then his last words to his brother, Montrose, like, look, bro, you need to start really opening up to Atticus. Like, mm-hmm. He may not be your son, which is another reveal. Like, they was revealing a lot of shit. Yeah. But you still, he may be the only family, like, you're the only thing he got left in this mm-hmm. world.
And I was hoping, but so that reveal is why, because when I saw it, I was like, man, maybe they're going to bring him back. Maybe they're going to get some Marvel shit, and they're going to bring him back later on, even though he was crying his ass off. But then the fact that he was like, yo, this might not be your kid, that whole intimate moment that they had was mm-hmm. almost like him signing off. But I hope they bring him back anyway.
We'll see.
So y'all think that's George kid?
Probably. Otherwise, why are they bring it up?
You think that's his actual son and he just raised him as his nephew?
Shit happened like that.
Yeah. I don't know that he knows that that's his son.
Well, he was, like I did mention earlier, he was messing around with his mama.
Right, but when he brought it up,
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, he did say like he didn't say like I'm the dad, like I'm right. the I'm the pappy. He didn't come out like that.
I'm the pappy.
He just said it like you need to remember like he's not yours, and maybe this is why this is all happening. Maybe mm-hmm. we're getting to the we've been trying to avoid this lineage for the longest. They didn't hardly ever talk about his mama's side, you know.
Which would explain why they had no need for Montrose in the first place. Because they and why they needed the true heir to whatever his name.
Oh, that's why they probably kidnapped him. Say like, he's going yeah. either we got him mm-hmm. with like, and he got the blood, or we gonna get the son.
Yeah, since he ain't the real blood, we need the real blood, and that's the kid.
Damn, I didn't even think about it like that. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
so
yeah,
so yeah. thinking of that, what did y'all think about the ritual scene? I love the Whitey on the Moon audio clip though. Man. I just didn't care for the rest of the scene.
Like,
after
you don't get this man's muscular ass out my fucking face.
They try to make sure you see every man. Shirt, every scene. He got a tight shirt on.
They selling that shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That editor, that the reviewer Armand White, who I think I tried to get you to read some of his stuff, Mike. He was like, "Man, this shit is like some Tyler Perry esque type shit." Like mm-hmm. they was going in.
Weird.
It was even with the. Well, even with the choice of music with Whitey on the Moon, but again, that kind of goes back to, like, I think it was a good choice because he kind of talked about, like, the shit that they be trying to do, you know, and so these motherfuckers been trying to get to the goddamn moon and find aliens for motherfucking years and shit like that. And they always writing and trying to find, you know, like this hidden order of secrets of the world and shit.
To conquer.
You and shit like that. Yeah. I thought it was cool. I thought the James Baldwin in the first one was a little bit better, but, the choice of, you know,
the sundown. Yeah. I said, yeah.
But again, it kind of jumped the ship a little bit.
Yeah. Cause the audio sounds dope, but when you're watching it visually, trying to map to parallel the scenes with what you're hearing, it's all over the place. Cause you don't know what the fuck is going, like to B's point, like, what are they even trying to get to with the Garden of Eden? Like,
and then the ghost of his mom, you know, gonna, you know, escort him to safety, you mm-hmm. know, after he survived and killed everybody. Everybody turned to fucking damn stone like Medusa and shit like that. But, he was running his ass off to get out of there though.
He did. And then it was also like, what was his power in that? Like, he was, didn't like some trees grow on him and some shit? And then mm-hmm. at first it seemed like it was really painful for him to do the process, and then he just got cool with it when he saw his mama. Like, it was just all over. And then he ran out the house and the whole house came down.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know about this one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like at the end with the late woman that was standing there, then what was that supposed to symbolize?
That was his
his mom was guiding him out the house. Yeah. The same way the house burned down when she was running out.
Oh.
It was the same way for him. Okay. Yeah. Which is okay, but I don't know. It just seemed too action movie for me. Like, oh, you make it out the house right when the last pebble comes down.
Oh, that didn't bother me.
Oh, what was it for
that,
you?
That, well, I was just not super stoked on the whole episode. I liked it, but at the same time, I was just like, I'm not really sold anymore. Like, I feel like I was sold same. On the first episode. But off that second episode, I didn't feel like, I mean, I definitely felt the Uncle George shit. That one fucking hurt.
Yeah.
But overall, I really wasn't like, oh man, I can't wait for episode.
Cause three. I don't know where they're going. I don't know where they're going with
and this. Usually I don't mind that. But
yeah. Usually I don't mind that either. But it was just the combination of this episode being kind of all over the place with the really bad CGI. With the whole, like, him tied up and the light things are coming out of him and all this shit. I was just like, man, this is not what I was expecting, and I don't know how much I care anymore.
I think one of the few critiques that I would have of this one was it felt like the storyline escalated real quick.
Yes, yep. Exactly. Uh-huh.
So I'm like, so where are we gonna go now? Like B said, I don't know where they're going, and I like that aspect of it, but him getting to the house, finding his dad, like that shit's over in in 2 episodes.
Yeah. In 2 hours.
So what is the real story that right. they're telling with Lovecraft Country?
Because it's like 10 episodes this season, and mm-hmm. we're not even a third of the way through, and we've already got all this information that we don't know what to do with. It seemed like, and not to... Mike, I know this may be bad for you, but as far as like when you were watching I May Destroy You, skipped to the last episode on accident. Like, mm-hmm. that's why I felt like this episode, I felt like we missed like episode 2 and 3 and we just skipped to 4.
It did feel that way because it was, I mean, now they could just be setting us up for some wild shit because like y'all just said, we don't really know what the story is, but it was just like, you're the heir to this person who's a part of this weird cult thing. And they're trying to get back to the Garden of Eden. And now you have these powers and you leave the house and the house comes down. And it was just like, this is a lot. This is a lot for episode 2.
Exactly.
But it wasn't, to me, it wasn't a lot of cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a lot of, oh wow, this is deeper. Oh man, this is crazy. It was a lot of like, all right. Oh, that too? All right. You know?
Like, what else you about to throw on this?
Yeah, like...
It did get to that point. Like, if it wasn't for the few moments that I like seeing Montrose and, mm-hmm. and some of the scenes, it's like, I would have regressed on my... Like, when I saw that first episode, I'm locked in.
Me too.
I'm ready, whatever y'all got going.
Yep.
That second episode, I'm like, let me pause on spreading this show to anybody else who may be like, what is Lovecraft about? Like, oh, let me get through episode 4 now.
You know what it did for me? It made me want to read the book. Cause I'm like, okay, what the fuck is the book about if it's moving this fast? So, I'm waiting for it to go on sale. It hadn't went on sale yet, but I did want to read the book. So what?
It's just a typical old black male way of looking at shit. Just waiting for that motherfucker to go on sale. I ain't paying full price. Fuck that shit.
Sometimes they do that.
I'm with you.
So they got an HBO discount.
Right.
Hey, they do that sometimes. So yeah. So I did walk away with that feeling. Cause I'm not, I mean, to wait 10 episodes to get to the end, that may not be the end. It's like, damn, like I need to know a conclusion, but overall I'm still with it though. I do want to go back to the first episode. Remember when he went to the bar and met Tree?
The gay guy who's getting his dick sucked?
No, not him. But he went out to see the guy back there because he was like, Tree's out back. But it felt like, I think the guy's name was Tree, but it was a big tall guy.
The guy when he first walked in, he was like, oh, Tick, is that you?
Yeah.
That was glossed over.
Yeah, didn't it kind of feel like something happened?
I think Tick, they kept on talking about like, oh, that's Tick? People haven't seen him in a while. And I think before he left,
it sounded like something happened between Tick and that tall guy.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think he got bullied when he was younger. And I think maybe, you know how like,
I'm not getting the bully feel.
Well, I'm not either. Oh, that's mean like sexual? Oh, I didn't get that.
I thought it was bullying that. Because it's like, remember, Antoine Fisher, when he first goes back after all those years to the lady's house, the one who raised him, the orphanage. She tries to hug him like, oh, nigga. And he was like, nah, nigga, like, you put me through some shit. And I think that's how I felt. Like, he looked at it like, oh, we've been knowing each other for a while. Give me love. And he's like, nah, nigga, what you did back then is fucked up that I had to deal with. I'm not even fucking with you.
Yeah.
It just seemed like there was definitely a story there. And it seemed like it would be really weird to set that up and not explain it.
Yeah.
I think they will go back to his.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Because I forgot about that. So I'm glad you brought it up. Mm-hmm. I did think that was bizarre. Cause he like walked away real angry like.
Yeah.
And yeah, going back and talking to that other dude while he was getting his, you know.
His snake,
snake wet. You know what I'm saying?
That dude took off too, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Quit.
And I don't know why I was expecting that when he was walking back there. I don't know why. That's the first thing again that popped in my head. He's getting his dick sucked by a dude.
Yep.
I don't know why.
Really? I didn't know when I saw it, I was just like, okay.
The air in the, and you know what I'm saying? It was like a smell in the air. You smell dick. You smell dick and slobber. I was like, this dude's getting his dick sucked. Whatever, B.
What does it smell like? Right?
Fuck, man.
Dick and slobber.
Oh my God.
Cause it feels, you know what? I don't know if it's in the book, but the feeling I got is that they want to be, I don't know if progressive is the right word.
I think it's just HBO. HBO always has to have a sex scene, no matter what show it is.
Yeah, but
they got to do a sex scene.
It feels like they, like, that was, like thrown in there mm-hmm. to show like this did exist back in mm-hmm. the day. Yep. And that some people can look at it and accept it and they don't talk about it.
Yep.
That's what it felt like. It was a message.
I get that. Damn. It just was thrown in there for no reason because it had no point. Like,
it had nothing to do with
it. They didn't even address it. Atticus just turned around like, oh, my bad. And then he turned back around like, I'm looking for my pops. Have you seen him?
Because I think that, you know, in you know, certain communities, you know who does what. So it's like, we already know. So it's like, hey, where my dad at?
Yeah, because clearly they knew that that's what was going down.
It's still you can't publicize it, but people know probably.
But I don't know why, but yeah, the second he was like, oh, he's out back. It's like, he's getting his dick sucked by a dude. That's definitely what's happening. And when they showed him back there, he was like this. I was like, oh.
Niggas always got that.
I'm just waiting for the camera to pan down. And it's going to be a male head running around.
That's the same stance niggas take when they take a good piss. When you get your dick sucked, taking a good piss. It's the same thing.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll see what tonight does, man. We'll see.
Mike, are you happy that we're reviewing it two episodes at a time based on like how the second episode was? Cause I'm sure if we did it week to week, like I was just thinking in my head, like I'm glad we're doing it in somewhat batches cause it gives us a better scope of where the show may go mm-hmm. and how the show is going to be I feel like the show is going to be a roller coaster ride. I feel like moving forward, there's going to be some episodes we really love and some we're like, all right, what the fuck is going on?
I was cool either way, honestly. If we did it episode by episode or batches, either one worked for me. But to answer your other question, yeah, I'm interested in this new episode. Now, if I feel meh after this episode like I did with the second one, then I'm probably still going to finish it, but I'm just not going to be excited about it. I was, like, hyped for this show off that trailer. I was like, man, this show's going to be great. First episode lived up. Second episode was like, I don't really care. So I don't know about the third one. I'm curious, but I'm not as excited anymore.
Fortunately for me, I didn't come in with any hype. I remember you guys talking about it, and I had a feeling I was just going to watch it just off what you guys were talking about. But I did see the trailer, but it didn't give me any sort of feeling of excitement. Mm-hmm. I am excited to watch the third episode only because of the way the second episode went.
Right.
I want to see what they're going to do tonight.
Yeah, where are they
going? We're talking about a real extreme high.
Yeah.
And then confusion for a lot of motherfuckers, you know, in the second episode. So that's a hell of a risk to take,
mm-hmm.
you know, when people come in to the second episode expecting one thing and get something completely left field.
Yep.
You know what I thought about? I told Nick, remember when he said it was supernatural with black people?
Oh, it turned into it.
I told you.
It turned into it. You were right, Nick. You're right. I eat my words, bro. You're right.
I thought the same thing. I was like, damn, this is fucking supernatural.
God damn.
But the trailer didn't make you think that. But that's kind of why I'm in between you and Ken. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm excited just to see I'm excited to see if it goes that bad. like I'm excited to see, like, will this go? Cause like, with two minds like Jordan Peele and JJ Abrams, I feel like sometimes it sounds good on paper,
mm-hmm.
but we know how some J.J. Abrams shows, TV shows, have gone.
But they're just the EPs, though.
Yeah, but they still have influence.
But it's very little.
Yeah.
It was basically, they're probably just paid to put their name
on. To put their name on to get it out. And I was thinking that maybe that's the case, because I think Misha's, what she's doing is very creative.
It's Misha's show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's Misha's show. And I want to give her her rose, like, her shout out, because, like, this is dope. But I hope, and with her being the writer on all this, for the most part, it's like she's co-writing the last few episodes. But I hope, like, we.
Did she write this one?
She wrote the first three by herself.
So you're basically saying she got to close.
Yeah, like, she got to, like, I need to see this close. Like, because I didn't see the underground like some other people did, but I heard some good reviews. but I want to see, can she close in just these three episodes? And if she can get me hooked again in the third episode, I'm not going to question you for the rest of the season.
Well, unlike you two, I'm sure I'm the only one here that watched Supernatural.
No, I watched it faithfully.
Yeah. So
I did not.
Second episode didn't bother me as much because they've had some,
The house looked the same almost too, don't it? That's what I was thinking of. I was like, the bunker that they, Supernatural, they kind of looked the same, but we'll see. But, yeah, those are our thoughts for the first two episodes. We'll be back again to recap episode 3 and 4. Please let us know what you guys think of Lovecraft. Do you like it, love it, hate it? Is it confusing? Let us know in the FPS podcast, Reddit thread, FPS podcast on IG and Twitter. And we did get over 200 ratings on, iTunes. So that will allow us to do more things. I'll explain more later on, but wait till the end of this year or end of, going into the winter time. We may have more updates and announcements to make, but we appreciate y'all with the ratings. Please continue to subscribe and rate. Now do it for us this week. We out. Peace.